The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. It is another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. Thank you for joining us, where each week we try to do our best and give you the most information possible so that you can make the best decisions when it comes to your financial life. As the Portfolio Doctors, my name is Dan Osgood, and unlike usual, Steve's in studio with us. He is actually off. He claims to be working, but he's in Maui, so I have a hard time believing he's working that hard. I'm guessing he probably just pulled his board out of the water and paddled up to his phone so he could call in today. Steve, you with me today?
I am. Can you hear me?
I gotcha.
All right.
So how is the surf today?
I don't know. I haven't made it yet. It's too early here for me.
That's right. You're 3 hours back.
This is
early bird gets the worm for you today.
That's it. Exactly right. Exactly right. But I believe we're a little bit cooler than you guys in San Diego today.
Yes, it's been quite warm, a little unseasonably warm, although they're expecting it to get cooler than normal as the weekend progresses and into next week. So maybe just in time for you to get back, we'll have some snowstorms, flurries.
Yeah, that's perfect. Right, exactly. Well, they're expecting a big swell and also winds and waves and also potentially a hurricane hitting us. So you never know. Okay. Maybe we're sending it your way.
Yeah, more rain. It is El Nino.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And it seems like the volatility in the weather is the same on the market, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to say, wow, here we go again, deja vu, but this past week was not really as much deja vu as just wow, what a right. crazy week. It ended Friday of last week on a negative note, and then Monday was just open your eyes, look at the market. It was down 1,000 points, and then a short time later it was only down 150, and then by the end of the day, what was it, 600 or so for the end?
Yes, right.
So that's a pretty normal day in the market, isn't it?
Well, it followed through as well, and then you had a little bit of a rally later on in the week, as we all know, and tried to recover a chunk of the losses. But certainly, I would say that this last week is anything but a normal week. It doesn't normally run 4 or 5% in a direction without having some big implications. Obviously, we have had that flash crash back in 87, we recovered within a few days, and that was that. But this just smells of something a little bit more serious than, I'd say, something just, oh, here we go, we're back to normal, we're heading to highs. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
Right. With Tuesday, that was kind of an interesting day where the market was up pretty good for most of the day. And then in the last half hour to hour, it went from being positive about 250 points to finishing the day down 200. That's a pretty noteworthy event, in my view. I don't follow the market that closely to tell you what the chart says or any of that, but that's something that caught my eyes, that it swung that wildly in the last hour.
Well, it's interesting because obviously now everyone's, you got the bulls and the bears out, right? So the bulls are saying, here we go, don't worry, the economy's fine. And then they point to the supposed strength of the U.S. economy, which is, you know, you've got strong GDP numbers. I don't know if you know, witnessed or any of that, but they reported, I think it was a 3.7 GDP number.
For the quarter, right?
Yeah, for the quarter. And, you know, that's seriously strong. I mean, that's a very, very strong number.
Well, and but can we trust that number, or next month are they going to revise it down to 1%?
Well, that's the big thing, right? I mean, what is GDP and how is it calculated? And yes, it's supposed to be a measure of the economic performance. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting things and manipulation that go on in GDP. You know, there's so many changes that they make. So, for example, there's in Smith, one of the creators of this was Adam Smith way back when, and one of his statements was there's one sort of labor which adds to the value upon which it's bestowed. There's another which has no effect. And so what that means is certain labor is considered unproductive and therefore not included in the GDP calculation, and other bits are created, are giving value to GDP, and therefore they're added to GDP. So, for example, if you're a laborer and you're manufacturing, then you're adding to the value of GDP. And if you're a housewife at home working and doing the dishes so that your husband can go off to work, that doesn't count, of course. So these are very interesting things that you know, GDP is so manipulative and manipulated and so impossible to calculate that they reckon that certainly the politicians don't understand it, but definitely there's, you know, there may be a handful of people that even understand how GDP is even calculated, and that's the big question mark. As you say, there's you know, they go and they adjust it later on. I mean, they even do adjustments 5 years later.
Right. That's why I have a hard time with all these numbers. Although I have to believe at 3.7, they're going to have a hard time revising it low enough to where that is not an indication that things are going well.
Correct.
Because typically you'll see maybe they revise it from 1.5 down to 1 or something along those lines. You don't typically see it go from 3.7 down to 1 or 0.
I agree. It will stay a solid number. There's no doubt about it. If you think of the GDP as being strong, right, and then you've got unemployment down around 5%, let's call it, and we've talked about this on previous shows on full unemployment or the full employment number, and it can never get to zero because there's always people leaving jobs or quitting or whatever it might be.
Right, a healthy market has a certain number of people that are looking for the better opportunity.
Exactly right. So you're always going to have some people unemployed, and I think personally that about 5% is full employment level for the United States. So if you think that we're almost at full employment now, and based on the numbers once again that are produced by the Federal Reserve,
right, if you can trust those numbers, again.
So if you trust the GDP numbers and you trust the unemployment number. And then you've got interest rates at 0%. So you essentially what you've got is an economy that's storming along. If you believe those numbers, then the Fed has to raise interest rates. Right.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So that's one worry that the market has. I personally don't think that they will. And even if they do, it will probably only be 0.25%, which is really just, you know, nothing
right, from,
more
from the
than,
levels they are now, 0.25% is pretty insignificant.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and if the economy can't withstand 0.25% increase, then it really is incredibly weak. So, I mean, there is a chance that they will raise rates just because they almost have to. They've told everyone when we hit these numbers, we will raise rates. And so it seems like they might. I believe that they shouldn't, but that's just me.
I've been of the same opinion as you, but just in the last week or two, I've started to look at it a little deeper, and I won't be surprised if they do raise them as early as September, but only because of what you've already mentioned. They've kind of backed themselves into a corner where that's their only option, and if they don't raise rates, then that's sending a really bad message that things aren't as rosy as we've been saying, so we can't raise rates because we're afraid that's going to be a torpedo in the side. And so they almost have to, as a almost a placebo effect, to say, look, everything is good. We're raising rates because everything is good, which that could have that placebo effect and actually be beneficial to the economy, because that could give people a little extra confidence saying, wow, okay, if they're increasing rates, things must really be better. Let's go spend some money.
Yeah, exactly right. And if you can get consumer confidence up, then that's without a doubt. If consumer confidence was skyrocketing, then I would say that we really would be expanding at 3-4%. But you know, consumption and spending was pretty strong in the last quarter, so that's what really drove it.
Well, Steve, you're going to stick around the whole show today, right?
Yes, sir.
Unless you can see the beach and you see a big set coming in, and you're going to paddle out.
No, okay. I'll be here.
Okay, so we'll stick around. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Steve, discussing this crazy market that we're in and how that can affect you. You're listening to AM 1170, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Look no further.
He'll love
we
that.
We have The Answer. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170. The Answer.
I'm just going to sit and listen to this for a second or two. So, Steve, I have to tell you, when Todd heard that you're in Hawaii right now, he asked me straight out, he said, is he bringing Fudge back with him? And he said, you better tell him if he doesn't, he's going to get the bad headset from now on. So I might recommend you have a care package in your luggage when you come back.
All right, you got it. I better, because those headsets are no good.
Perfect. Well,
So I just have one more thing to bring up on this GDP, just as a little bit of a laugh and tongue-in-cheek about the construction of the GDP. So there you go. If you pay someone to mow your lawn and report the wages paid, then that adds to GDP. If you pay that person under the table, it does not.
Okay.
If you pay your maid to clean your house, it adds to GDP, except if you marry her, then it doesn't. Okay. Unless, of course, she gets access to your credit card, in which case spending probably increases GDP dramatically. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild example.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you know, it's just a very strange number, but we do need a number. And so based on the number that they're getting, it seems like there's a good chance that they will raise interest rates.
Right. However, and again, I have to believe if they do it, they're not going to throw a huge curveball and raise by 0.5%. If they do that, then look out. But I think a quarter would be the max they would do, maybe even as little as an eighth.
Yeah, an eighth would almost be, hey, we don't even think the economy can handle 0.25%, so we need to really eke into this.
Right.
The other side of the coin, though, is the rest of the world and their problems. You know, so you've got China, obviously, in a really bad state.
Right.
Their economy is tanking for the first time in a long time. Their stock market seems to go down by 5 or 6% every day it opens. They're doing their best to fix that. They're pointing their finger across the ocean and saying, hey, this is all caused by the Federal Reserve because the Federal Reserve can't make up its mind as to what to do, and this is affecting us, which I find hard to believe.
It's got to be someone's fault.
What's that?
It's got to be someone's fault. It might as well be ours, right?
Yeah, it can't be theirs, that's for sure. But, I mean, you can't have an economy grow at 8-10% for the history of time. You know, you're going to have to slow down at some point.
That's one thing that I think many people don't fully understand is a healthy market is one that does go down periodically. It can't just go up 5%. Even if it just went up 4% a year forever, that's not sustainable. You can't, that's not healthy. You need those corrections periodically because things will get a little bit out of line and you need to just pull it back in a little bit and then let it continue. And that's, I think, where extra panic comes in is people get used to the market going up like the last 5 or 6 years and then all of a sudden it drops a little bit and it throws panic in the streets because they're not used to that. And it's really important to know that this could be a very healthy action and activity going on in the market that could really benefit you over the long run.
No, absolutely. I think so. And this market, as you say, has been going straight up for so long. Normally, by now, we would have had at least one 10% correction in the market. And while we intraday touched a 10% correction, it never stuck. So technically, we still haven't had a correction.
That's actually, you must be reading my notes somehow because I wrote that to ask you. Is it really a correction if the market just temporarily hits that magical 10% number and then flies right back to where it's nowhere near the 10% number again?
No, that doesn't qualify. It has to actually be below that at the close. So intraday doesn't help us.
Okay.
Particularly as it really rallied quite strongly from there. But, so you haven't had a correction. I mean, the markets do. The prices of stocks are really overpriced from every metric I've read. And, you know, the bounce that occurred is largely in stocks that were heavily shorted to begin with. So it definitely seems like the market could continue to roll over whether they raise interest rates or not. And I wrote a blog about this on Friday. And I have a friend who has a very interesting business. He sells palm trees, and he sent me a little note back, and he says, when the market tanked last time, I saw the slowdown coming in palm trees well before it happened. The phone stopped ringing. Ironically, my business has been crazy this year until about 2 weeks ago when the phone stopped ringing, similar to back in 2005, without the weird mortgages now. However, it might be another sign that the crunch that I predicted is coming. And so it's interesting because a palm tree, if you think about it, it's all about landscaping. And you back in those days, it was building and construction. And, you know, everyone wanted palms in front of their houses. And these aren't, you know, palm trees aren't cheap. So, you know, do you want to put a $8,000-$10,000 palm tree in front of your house? Or do you want to get a, you know, $500 fir tree or whatever it is? And so that's one of the first things that people started cutting when they saw, wow, things are getting a bit expensive. We can't afford it. And it's just interesting that I get an email back from him going, Well, it's amazing that I was doing great until just a few, you know, about a month ago, and now everything seems to have just shut down and stopped. So that's the other side of the story. You know, is the economy really as strong as it's been printed? And can it withstand an interest rate hike with the weakness of China and Europe and Japan? And there's really no one helping the U.S. out there in terms of economic growth. The whole world's just relying on us at this point.
Everyone's trying to do the same thing, follow the same path, just keep pumping money into their own economies and try to devalue their money as much as possible. And, I mean, we've talked about that extensively over the last few weeks.
Which is the other interesting thing, though. So they raise interest rates, and everyone goes, okay, wow, you know, it shows we've got a strong economy. But guess what? That $18 or $19 trillion that we owe suddenly is going to cost us more.
Right.
You know, not instantly, because, of course, a lot of it's fixed for 5-10 years. But it does mean there's a lot of stuff, as we've discussed on other shows, that keeps, you know, maturing on almost a daily, well, it is a daily basis, stuff matures. And when they reissue that debt, it's now going to start costing more, which is going to start driving another hole in the Treasury's budget and widen the deficit again.
Well, here's a thought. What if, because we have talked about the fact that the Fed stopped pumping money into the system, but they never took that money out, so it essentially was still in there. If rates were to move up, is this their opportunity to just, as those bonds, those securities pay off, that the Fed just takes their money back and doesn't reinvest it?
Yeah. Now, that would be, yes, mopping up all the excess liquidity. I agree. That would, to me, be something smart and worth doing. However, the question is, how do you do that? It sounds good. Now, you can do it to a degree because the Fed's balance sheet can be reduced, right, without creating too much havoc. But in the normal state of affairs, if it wasn't on the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, the only way you would start mopping up your debt is you would have to have a balanced budget or some surplus, and you'd use that surplus money to pay off your debt, right? Mm-hmm. You think about it like a business. The government's a business. So if they have a surplus, they can pay down their debt. If they're losing money, they have to keep borrowing from, you know, the investors. But now what we've had for many years is the Federal Reserve has been buying the Treasury's debt. So in other words, it's just a Ponzi scheme to some degree. You're buying your own debt, so you're your own bank. So you can pay that back without really affecting much, and there's about $3 or $4 trillion of that. So yeah, it would be nice to see that money at least be reduced and be mopped up. But outside of that, there is no mopping up because we can't manage the budget to save our lives. And as interest rates go up, that interest payment's going to be a bigger and bigger portion of the budget. And so it's going to create a bigger deficit every time they raise rates.
Okay, well, while we're talking about rates, we've got Dave from Columbus on the line with us. So what a great opportunity to talk about what's happening with rates and how that's influencing real estate opportunities. Dave, how are you today? How's Columbus, Ohio?
Columbus, Ohio feels like California. It's absolutely beautiful here, and thanks for having me on the show, Portfolio Doctors.
Yep, we're here every week, and we're glad you can join us.
Things are really cooking out here. We got two closings set up for Monday, and just to remind your listeners exactly who we are and what we do, we're Columbus Turnkey Houses, and we're real estate investors here in Columbus, Ohio, and what we do is buy houses, and get them fixed up, we get them rented out, and then we sell these properties to investors in places just like your listeners there in California, where they can earn a great return on their investment by buying properties here in Columbus, Ohio. And then we even take it to the next level and take it to the next step, and we manage the properties for the investors. So the rates are really great, and we've really been targeting and putting a big emphasis that I want to tell you guys, putting a big emphasis on cash buyers. And also, we have a new investor who's using their self-directed Roth IRA to purchase a property.
Great. And yeah, you will accommodate that for them?
Well, what we're doing is we're helping them. They had money tucked away in a 401k, and we referred them to one of our good friends and somebody we know who's proven and just a great custodian for IRAs. That's what they do. is house IRAs and help people create a self-directed Roth IRA. And that's what this individual did. He rolled his 401k money into an IRA, and now he's closing on a property. He's purchasing the property for, I believe it's around $50,000. And get this, the property's rented for $850 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, how has the stock market bubble or mess affected you guys?
Well, we're here in Columbus, Ohio, so a lot of your listeners and a lot of people in California, they're used to the peaks and valleys of the real estate markets, and you see that in marketplaces like California, Arizona, Nevada. But here in Columbus, it's very stable. In fact, the whole Midwest is very stable, and it's just a steady increase. Goes up roughly 7% a year, but we don't see the drastic changes or peaks and valleys like you guys do, but that's what makes it a great place to invest, especially in cash flow properties, if you have the right team in place, meaning people who can manage the property and handle the day-to-day maintenance, repairs, tenants, and things of that nature. And that's exactly what we do. That's what makes Columbus a great place to buy investment properties.
Yeah, I was actually also being a little bit more tongue-in-cheek. I don't think the stock market had any impact on you guys, really. So the idea for investors to just consider is this is one of those opportunities where, you know, if you're worried and concerned about the market volatility and movements, and to be honest, I wouldn't really want to play the stock market right about now, and we can talk about that later in the show. But, I mean, this is one of the reasons you buy rental properties and you have them in your portfolio, because then you're not really that concerned about what's going on in the market.
Well, that's the best thing. The rents here are great. People always need a place to live. They always need a roof over their head. And Ohio, specifically Ohio, is a very landlord-friendly state. I've heard situations in California, you can't buy rental properties. It's very, I'm sure you can, but it's very difficult to succeed with rental properties in a place like California where the laws favor the tenants dramatically. Here in Ohio, the laws favor the landowner, the landlord. So if somebody's not paying their rent, respectfully, we'll have them out of there in 3 weeks and we'll get somebody new right up in there to take over the rent. So we have very little vacancy out here, and if somebody's not paying their rent, we're able to get rid of them relatively quickly.
Wow. And this, you always hear talk of non-correlating assets, and this is a very good example of a non-correlating asset, because the market can go up and down, but like you've already indicated, your price values are going to stay pretty stable. You're going to have that regular cash flow that really is a beneficial opportunity for listeners. And I think RJ joined us, although we're running right up against a break here. RJ, are you there?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Glad you could join us.
Glad to be here.
What tidbit of wisdom do you have to offer us up today?
Well, you know what? I just wanted to point out that in Columbus right now, the inventory levels on the MLS are really low as far as deals are. I think we touched upon this maybe a couple of shows ago about, you know, what it is that we do at Columbus Turnkey Houses, and what we're good at is finding deals that are off market. I read an article recently, a couple of days ago, about, you know, some of the current investors that are used to buying bank-owned properties and REOs, and they're not seeing it on the MLS, so they're resorting to, you know, companies, going to companies like us, at Columbus Turnkey Houses to supply them with properties. We just got an email from a pretty big fund out of South Carolina that's looking to buy some properties from us. So, as the inventory kind of levels go down, it's just we have a really good stronghold of the market, so we're always going to have deals, and that's kind of what we specialize in, off-market deals.
With that inventory being low, that's going to give you a little bit of price appreciation probably added in as well, as the demand probably remains consistent.
Right.
So, well, guys, thank you. Thank you very much. This is great information, as always, every week. And we're glad that our listeners are taking advantage and reaching out to you guys and learning of the opportunities that exist with Columbus Turnkey Houses. And that, again, the best way to reach you guys is columbusturnkeyhouses.com, correct?
You got it. ColumbusTurnkeyHouses.com. We'll be here.
Great. Thanks. We will talk to you again next week.
All right.
Good one, guys.
Thanks. And with that, we will take a short break here. And when we come back, we'll discuss how what's going on in the market can impact a plan and the importance of having a plan. You're listening to the Portfolio Doctors Who Have the Answer.
AM 1170 The Answer and AM 1170TheAnswer.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back to the Portfolio Doctors. Thank you again for listening, tuning in. Hope everyone's enjoying their weekend. As we know, although Steve claims to be working, just by that music, we know that it's probably harder to work in Maui than it is here. Although it's pretty nice here typically, but Steve is joining us via telephone from Maui. He is off on business, or so he says. Steve, you still there?
I'm still here.
Still here. Yep. Did that music fire you up to go grab your board and run straight to the beach when we're done?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm planning on that, actually. I got a small window of about an hour, so I think I will.
Perfect. Well, you know, we've talked about this before, but this past week really emphasizes and is an example of why we do this show. Because it what a wild week. Lots of crazy information out there. Like I during the break, I just did a quick search on Yahoo Finance, and there's a story from Jim Cramer, the circus clown of CNBC, who his quote is, "Expect the markets to drop substantially next week." And then John Hofmeister, former Shell Oil president, says oil's going to $80 a barrel very soon. And then right. The Fed's Fisher says, "Good reason to believe that inflation is going to increase." And it's all of these headlines that are all just panic-inspiring comments. And that's why we have this show, is we want you to understand that you need to take most of these comments with a grain of salt and just understand there is some motive behind these comments. And especially in the case of Hofmeister, I mean, he's a former Shell Oil president. I have to believe he owns a lot of stock in Shell Oil. He's probably encouraging people to believe that it's going up and buy the stock, run the shares up so he can sell some of his shares?
Well, yeah, either that or just that's what CEOs have to do, right? When you become a CEO of a public company, your job that used to be when you were running a private company, which was manage the business, manage the employees, try and expand the company growth and all of that pretty much goes out the window. And your job now is to just try and promote your stock.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what these guys do, right? Because if you think about their pay and compensation packages, they obviously get paid a lot of money to run a business, but they get paid a heck of a lot more if the stock price goes up.
Right, and they have to report to the shareholders.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you incentivize a person with a stock price movement, then that's what they're going to promote. So I find it hard to believe that oil's going, yeah, I would say it's probably right. Oil will be at $80 a barrel with no time in the near future. I know it has rallied from, you know, $38, $39 a barrel. In 2 days, it rallied back up to $45. But that's still a long way from $80. And also, it's a long way from $100 or so. I mean, and Jim Cramer, for example, I was just happened to be scrolling through the channels a month or so ago and heard his prediction that oil at the time when it was $60 a barrel was going to $80 and it turned right around and went down to $38. So, you know, these are just the predictions are almost always impossible to do. It's just a you know, waste of people's time to really listen to predictions. And that's why we don't propose to sort of predict what's going to happen. But, you know, what I would say is, just based on market volatility in that, yes, you need a plan, of course, and you should probably have something allocated to stocks at most times. But this is one of those times where if you had been sitting with your plan, stepping with your plan, staying with all of the attributes of it, you'd probably find that your stock portfolio was growing and growing and growing over the last few years and becoming an ever larger piece of your overall portfolio. And if you had stuck with your plan, you would have been tearing that down in line with the portfolio and allocating those to different resources, like, for example, you know, Columbus Houses or whatever. And now you wouldn't be in such a panic if you are in a panic about your stock portfolio.
Right. This is really the time that really tests the strength of a plan and right. really tells you whether you have one or not, because most people say, oh, yeah, I have a financial plan, and they have some allocation to stocks, whether it's in their 401k or they're just investing on their own. And then the market starts falling apart like this and they immediately cash out. Like, I know of a person at a firm I used to work at who is managing people's money. Monday morning, first thing at the open, he sold out of every position.
Okay.
Right at the bottom of the 1,000-point drop.
Right.
And no.
Well, maybe if he's buying now, that would be a real shame. But if he actually stays out for
right.
you know, reasons that are valid, then that's a whole separate story, right?
Well, but at the same time, if he didn't panic, he could have taken that same action 2 days later and not accepted such a big drop.
Right, right.
So it really is important to not panic just because of a one-day wild gyration, because typically a correction doesn't happen overnight. It sneaks up on you and happens while you're not paying attention. And then all of a sudden you look and say, wow, the market's down 15%. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's the other side of this whole correction. You're right. It doesn't happen in 2 or 3 days. But this market's been stuck in a range since about February or March of this year. And it finally broke the bottom of that range. And, you know, in reality, though, it's moved sideways pretty much the entire year. September is normally a bad month for the stock exchange, so there's a good chance we might have started the correction in the market. But that doesn't mean we're entering into a bear market, because,
right.
you know, and no one knows that until you finally get to the bear market. And then you look back and go, oh, yeah, we're in a bear market.
Right. It's kind of like a recession. People talk about, oh, I think we're going to go into a recession. No one ever knows until it's well after the fact of, oh, yeah, let's look at those numbers. We actually hit a recessionary period 6 months ago.
Correct. Correct.
So, again, this is information that you hear people talking, oh, I think we're going to do this or I think we're not going to do that. And most of that, you don't know when it's happening. You have to look back to see that that did occur because of the way the information is released.
Right. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, hearsay is just such a poor use of your investment dollar, and why people need to implement a plan and just, you know, stop worrying about everybody else. And, you know, I mean, I just felt uncomfortable with the stock market for the last 2.5 years. And obviously I've missed a lot of upside personally, but I've created a portfolio, as I've tried to explain to our listeners, that I believe is anti-fragile, meaning it'll do fine no matter which direction the market goes in, and it is. So it's one of those things where if you get your plan going and you can stick to it and you don't lose faith, you know, I mean, when you're earning 5 to 8% return during a market that's gone up 30%, don't get in a panic and go, oh, I've got to go into stocks because, you know, now you see the other side of stocks, right?
Right. And that, I mean, the whole psychology of investing, there's been lots of research that indicates that your everyday average citizen or human makes the wrong decision at the wrong time most of the time.
Right.
And it's all based on, like you said, the market was hitting all-time highs, and that was causing people to run like crazy for the stock market. And if anything, that should be a time where you're being more cautious. Whereas when the market, if it was hitting all-time lows, that should be when you're running to the market and saying, this is one of the greatest opportunities I've ever had. Here we go. I think I can do well now.
Yep, no, exactly right. And, you know, if you think about most portfolio creation, it revolves around an allocation of a percent of your portfolio to a certain asset class. So let's say you decide you want 40% in stocks. When stocks run rampant like they have for the last 5-6 years, if you keep that allocation at 40%, it means you're selling a portion of those stocks along the way and reallocating it to other portions of your portfolio.
Right.
And so as the market goes higher, you're almost selling into that market. But what most people end up doing is they put the allocation of 40% into stocks, and then it runs like crazy. And now, here we are, the market's gyrating like crazy. They've got 70% now in stocks because of that growth, and they haven't reallocated. And now they're in a panic because, oh, now what to do? But it's a real simple answer. You sell 30% of your stock portfolio. You know, you bring it down to 40% at least.
Right, get it back in line. You know,
yeah, and you shouldn't be worried about these market gyrations. Admittedly, if you have a business that you're running, you know, and you're concerned about a recession and how you're going to handle it and all of that type of thing, that's a different show altogether that, you know, that we need to probably do. But with the stock side of just a portfolio investment, that's, I mean, a simple solution. But you need to be disciplined, right?
Right, and that's one thing we talk about with some regularity is if you have a plan, you need to be reviewing it with regularity. You need to be keeping it updated. And that is a lot of what you just discussed. That means sitting down and saying, okay, my plan says I have 40% to stock, 20% to real estate, 20% to whatever else you might want to be invested in. And as the world events occur, that gets out of proportion, and you want to get it back as close to that 40% and that 20% and that 20%, or else you create your own panic situation of, wow, 90% of my money is now in the stock market, and the stock market's falling like a rock. What do I do? And that can be catastrophic to the plan, where if you have these action steps that tell you, if this occurs, I do this. If that occurs,
right,
I do this. And it just takes the guesswork out, because it allows you to control what you can control and not worry about what you can't control. And the stock market is one of those items in a financial plan that you have no control over. So you can't get too caught up in the day-to-day movements of it, because it's just an allocation in the overall bigger plan.
Yes, exactly. And that's why if it's managed right, then you'll be okay. But if it's not, and this is causing you some concern and stress, it probably means you've got too large of an allocation to the stock market.
Right.
And as I say, I personally just didn't like the market for years. So I've been pretty much out of the market for years and missed a big chunk, but that's okay because everything else that I'm doing is working fine. And in a year like this where the market's now down for the year, I'm still, you know, solidly up and have limited chance of being down for the year. So that's just how you want to run your portfolio, right?
Right. And that's another part to a plan, and this is, I think, the part that's most important, is it is such a personalized process that every single person or every single family, their plan is going to look different than everyone else. And right. You need to understand that. You can't do the same thing your neighbor's doing. You can't do the same thing your parents or your brother or sister are doing. Because your goals, what's important to you, is very different in, I have to say, maybe it's not 100%, but it's pretty darn close, than everyone else you know, every family member, every neighbor. What you want to accomplish, what's important to you, what your goals are very different, and you need to plan accordingly. Because it is personal, and you can't get caught up in the talk, whether it's at work or over the fence with your neighbor or at a family get together about, oh, wow, I made a bunch of money in the market. I bought Apple. It was down. It went back up. I'm doing really well. You can't get caught up in that, because if you plan properly, like you've said, you didn't like the market. You've set up your own investment strategies that are doing really well in this crazy market, and the downside is virtually non-existent. So you've got a very bright, forward-looking future of your portfolio doing really well for you based on what's important to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because in this situation, my bigger concerns are economic. So you have an economic downturn, then that's a separate situation. But a stock downturn, you know, it doesn't really matter. And so people have to understand that there's a difference between an economic meltdown and a stock meltdown, right? So the stocks, what people often look at at stocks is it's forward-looking. So they think, uh-oh, the market's going down. That means here we go into another recession. And the stock market has been pretty good at predicting those types of things. So, you know, there's always an issue somewhere in your portfolio. You just have to continue to monitor it and stick to your plan, as you say, and hopefully you can ride these things out. But I have to say that, to me, that the reason I believe the market might continue down is more because I think there's a fundamental problem in the world's economic engine rather than just some kind of a blip on the radar screen in terms of the U.S. stock exchange. That's just my take on it.
Right. And I mean, we've talked about that for the last 2 years at least, about the facts that look around the globe and where is there a really strong economy where you can say, wow, look how well that economy is doing. And for a while, maybe it was China, but even that was questionable because it's hard to trust a lot of the data that comes out of China.
Yep.
And now if you take that same overview and look around the globe, yes, you can say the U.S. economy is looking better, but it's still not one where you say, wow, it's so robust. It's doing so well right now that it's going to be the leader and carry the rest of the globe. Because right now, every economy of the world is intertwined.
Agreed. And then you've got people like we've spoken about, Apple, Microsoft, IBM, you know, Oracle, all these massive companies that are global companies.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that the U.S. does raise interest rates, the one effect it will have, as I mentioned once again in a previous blog, is the dollar will get even stronger.
Right.
And when you get a stronger dollar, and the bulk of your S&P 500 companies are reliant on exports or sales outside of the U.S. for their growth, and now their products suddenly become much more expensive outside of the U.S., so that growth slows, then you're reliant just on the U.S. To try and get you going, and we haven't really seen that going too well until supposedly this last quarter, but, I mean, that's really coming on the back of some very weak quarters.
Right, so the previous quarter was pretty much flat. What wasn't the previous quarter GDP basically zero?
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, you have to just wonder whether the U.S. can drag everyone along if we're starting to supposedly put the brakes on.
Right.
I don't know about, you know, your business and that, but I certainly know in the businesses that I'm involved with and we're looking at, things have been getting better, but certainly it doesn't feel like we've been at gangbusters. Although maybe that type of analysis has been based on, you know, the two previous gangbusters have been the bubble of 2000 and the bubble of 2008. So maybe this is more of a normal situation, and we're used to, at this point, being in some kind of a massive bubble.
And all just making money hand over fist way more than we should deserve, you know?
Well, it does seem a little bit like we've kind of created a new normal where it's just big extremes where maybe there's longer periods between a downward trend in the markets of basically any kind. But when those downward trends occur, it seems to be a bigger, worse event than it had been in the past, where there were more consistent, more regular downturns of just basically reining in the out of control before it got too out of control, where now we're allowing it to get further out of control before an event occurs that causes it to slide. Like you said, maybe this is the beginning of a bigger global economic issue, and this could cause a tremendous drop in our market, or maybe this was the correction and here we go again.
Well, I think that what you bring up is a very good summary of certain things. I think that they have been shallower because of all this massive stimulus and intervention from the central bankers of the world. My concern is that this intervention has been on such an unprecedented scale that we're in uncharted territory. I mean, in the past, you had one country maybe trying to stimulate in certain ways, be it tax, you know, breaks or monetary stimulus or whatever it might be. But this time around, we've got Europe, Japan, China, the United States all pumping money into the economies. And I think we're in a situation, everyone's got low interest rates. We're in a situation now where we've never really had a massive global depression. And I don't know, it's just, that's the part that scares me, where it's a coordinated attack from all sides of the globe. And the growth in global debt is up to like 60 or 70 trillion from only about 20 trillion three or four years ago, and I just don't know what the results of that are going to be. That's the part that concerns me.
Well, we know that they're going to have the fix. It's going to be that global
bond,
trillion, multi-trillion dollar coin. And it's going to wipe everything out.
No one liked my idea so far, the global bond, but you never know.
Yeah.
Never know. Maybe someone will listen eventually. But, yeah, I just don't see how they're going to clean up all their balance sheets.
Call up Donald Trump and have him start campaigning now. when he gets to be president, then he can start talking with the other economies around the world, and they can create this somehow.
Well, and the next problem, you know, is that where's the leadership in this world? You look around and you don't see a lot of people that you would actually want to throw your hat in the ring with, right? I mean, it just seems like everyone's a politician versus just trying to do the right in the countries that they're running. And that's, I think, one of the biggest problems we've got. And hopefully someone can change that somewhere along the line. I'm not sure Donald is the person.
No, but he may be better than what we have now. So we will
he
see how that
be.
Plays
we'll
out.
See.
Well, Steve, enjoy your weekend. I know you're gone for at least another week.
Right.
Enjoying the sun and the sand and the Hawaii fudge. Hopefully you're able to get by there occasionally and give some samples.
Oh, without a doubt. I'll have to get some and bring it back to the studio.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for calling in for this new latest edition of the Portfolio Doctors.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll talk to you during the week, but have
Absolutely.
A great week. And thanks to the listeners for listening. We will talk to you again next week. You've been listening to the Portfolio Doctors, where we have the answer. Thanks.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. The Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on The Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.